So this week, you know, I was flicking through the channels because, like everybody, we're kind of isolated. And I happened to come upon the Dodger channel where they were showing a game from August of last year. And I have to tell you, seeing Clayton Kershaw up on the mound in his home white uniform and hearing the roar of the crowd and the murmur of those announcers, it was so comforting to me. And in fact, my wife and I got sort of immediately mesmerized by this game. And as we watched it, it just seemed like all of a sudden, like everything was normal again. In fact, things were so normal that when we fell behind in the game and the score for a few seconds, my wife got up, as she always does, and says, "I can't watch this anymore. I can't watch it." But I was able to say, "Don't worry. They only replay the games that we win." So we had comfort and the assurance of victory. It was just like a perfect evening. Comfort and the assurance of victory. In these crazy and uncertain times, I've noticed, at least in me, that I've been reaching out more and more for things of comfort and things of assurance. I noticed that my son, who is isolated like everybody else and working at home, I've noticed, though, he'll come up to the house more evenings just to hang out and have dinner. I noticed that my wife, who's a great cook anyway, but now she's like outdoing herself with stews and soups and desserts and things that are comfort food. We're just looking for that comfort in these times of unnerving uncertainty, and we're living in that kind of tension of that uncertainty and looking for comfort. And I'm wondering if that is something that God really wants us to be paying attention to right now in this time. C.S. Lewis once said that God whispers to us in our pleasures, and he speaks to us in our consciences, but he shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone for rousing a deaf world. And I really think that God is speaking to us today. He's shouting us to us today. And I think that a big part of the message that we are to be getting today is that in this time of uncertainty, it is not our fears, it is not our emotions, it's not the prospect of sudden illness or even death that should be ruling in us, but God should. That in times of uncertainty and fear, when they rear their ugly heads, Jesus should be the undisputed king in our heart. And Jesus comes, this King of our hearts comes in all kinds of situations. And he comes with assurance and with comfort. But listen, he also comes willing and able to conquer those places in our hearts that are still filled with fear and maybe are resisting him. And I think that that is one of the messages that comes through to us in Palm Sunday and in this passage that we heard today. As Jesus stands on a road overlooking a valley towards Jerusalem. Now on this day, as Jesus stands on this road, there are people all over Jerusalem. There are thousands of people in Jerusalem and choking the roads going into Jerusalem, coming to celebrate the Passover, coming to celebrate and commemorate that great time when God brought his people out of slavery in Egypt. And they're coming from all over to commemorate this great event that God accomplished and set up and made happen by his great power. It was the defining moment, the defining event of the Jewish nation, and the thing that really cemented their identity as a people. So every year, from miles around, all over the region, people would come to commemorate and to celebrate this great Passover week. And the people who are streaming by Jesus on this road are among those number. But Jesus is not ready to go down into Jerusalem just yet, because Jesus has a message that he wants to send. And it's a message that needs to be composed just right. It's a message that is a visual message, and he needs a couple of props. So he goes to his disciples and he says, go to the village ahead of you, and once you are there, you will find a donkey tied up with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And then I'm sure as the disciples are thinking, okay, Jesus, maybe this is not the greatest idea to go down and pilfer a couple of donkeys and bring them to you. Jesus says, if anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Now, these disciples had seen some pretty remarkable things that Jesus had done in the past, right? These are the same disciples who had seen him calm a storm in the Sea of Galilee. They had seen him feed multitudes, baking bread and fish seemingly come out of nowhere. But most of all, they had seen his greatest miracle yet. They had seen him raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. This was a miracle that had made Jesus famous all around the countryside. There were people that were talking about Jesus. They were excited about Jesus, and they knew something big was going on with Jesus. So as they went down to get those donkeys, they were probably thinking, well, you know, we've seen Jesus do a lot. Getting a couple of donkeys and knowing where to find them is probably a piece of cake. And it was. They got down there, they found the donkeys, they brought them back up, and Jesus began to compose this visual message. And here's the thing. The people who were around Jesus, who were coming up into Jerusalem, but kind of knew Jesus, they knew of his reputation from his ministry the last 2 years out in the countryside. These people who had heard these rumors about the magnificence of Jesus and that perhaps he was even the Messiah that God had sent, well, they began to pick up on this message that Jesus wanted to send. They saw the donkeys and they immediately began to think ahead to Jesus' message, because it was not an original message. It was a message that had been communicated even before. It was a message that had been communicated years and years before by the prophet Zechariah, who had told of what it would look like when that king came. When that king came. And he said it would look like this. Say to the daughter of Zion, that means all the people of Israel, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This message had been put out by Zechariah already. So right now, it was almost like Jesus was going to retweet this message. And the people all around Jesus, they knew that, yeah, this may be the moment that Zechariah is talking about. So they join in composing this message. They take their coats off and they put them up on top of that donkey's foal, on that colt, and then they boost Jesus up onto that donkey. And then as that procession begins to go down the road to Jerusalem, they take off their coats and they lay their coats on the road before him. They take palm fronds and they put those down on the road before him. They do all of these things in imitation of those who would welcome a conquering warrior into their town. So they're doing this and they're rejoicing. They are excited. They're loving the fact that Jesus is sending this message that God's Messiah is coming and help is on the way. and they rejoice and they say, Hosanna, which means save us. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save us. Hosanna in the highest. And they rejoice and they delight in the comfort and the assurance that help is on the way. Jesus is on the way. But there's another audience that Jesus is also concerned about. Another audience that Jesus is targeting with this message. And it's an audience of people who are at the other end of the road down in Jerusalem. These are the religious leaders, the people down in Jerusalem who believe that Jerusalem is the locus of their nation and that the temple and all it represents is the epicenter of their power. And they see Jesus coming and they are unnerved and they are uncertain and they begin to shudder because they know that Jesus has said he is coming. They know that Jesus has their temple and their power in his sights. They know that Jesus has said he is greater than the temple. And so they shudder to them, this king coming on a donkey, coming in humility, means war on what they hold dear. And so they shudder. And you know, it would have been easier for them if Jesus had been coming with a great army, because you can rout an army. It would have been better for them if Jesus was coming like a great warrior Messiah on a war horse, because you can make war against a war horse. But Jesus wasn't coming like that. He wasn't coming like that. He wasn't coming with force. He was coming brandishing love. He was wielding hope. He was armed with a promise of new life. And listen, the people who knew what Jesus' reputation was, who had been seeing Jesus, who were so exciting right now, who were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All those people, man, they had felt that love. They had bought into that hope. They understood that promise, and they were banking on that promise of new life. And those down in Jerusalem who were dreading his approach, they knew Jesus was wielding weapons they could not match. And they knew that Jesus was bringing with him today the seeds of their destruction, that he was on course, that he was intent on conquering the redoubts of resistance to God's new thing in the world, in their nation, and in the hearts of the people. And listen, Jesus is doing the same thing today. From that day to this, from that day to this, that day to this, Jesus, as much as he brings assurance and comfort, he comes intending to conquer those places in our world, in our nation, and in our hearts, those last redoubts of resistance and fear, resistance to him. See, this is Palm Sunday, and it's a day that we remember, we commemorate, we rejoice that Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And we do that because we remember that Passover was a great commemoration of that day when God freed the people of Israel from slavery to Egypt. But we know that on this day, it begins the week that Jesus came into Jerusalem. Jesus came into the world to begin to free every human being from slavery to sin and to death. That this was the day that began the week that he would come to fulfill the old covenant. He would come to fulfill the old covenant, that old agreement between God and his people that was based on law and judgment, and instead replace it with a new covenant that's based in love and in hope and in the promise of life, life eternal for those who believe in him. It was the day that Jesus began that week in which he would look at that temple and all its power and bring that temple down and replace it with a new power, a Holy Spirit power that would be raised up in the hearts of each individual in a new temple in our hearts. So it's a good time to celebrate. It's a good time to remember that help is on the way, that Jesus is coming, that he is full of assurance and comfort. But it's also a good time to look inside those hearts and say, where does God need to come in? Where does Jesus need to come in and begin to conquer those places in us where we still have resistance to him? Those places in our hearts today. Those places where we may be holding on to the old ways, to old sin. We've got to say, ride in, Jesus. Come on, ride in and conquer those places. Those places in our hearts where we're holding on to unforgiveness. Holding on to unforgiveness. Even holding on to things that we can't forgive ourselves for. Even though Jesus has said, go ahead, it's all yours, take it, you're free, go. We're holding on. We got to say, Jesus, ride into those places and conquer those places. How about those places in our hearts that we're holding on to blind prejudice still? Ride in. Come on, take those places, conquer those in me. How about those places in our hearts where we're hard-hearted, we're looking around at the people around us and imagining that they are just hopelessly mired in sin and maybe not even eligible or not even able to ever have the light of Christ dawn in their hearts? Are we thinking those things about some people? Ride in, Jesus, and conquer that in me. Ride in, and let's not be those who are fearful of Jesus, who are resistant to him, who are shuddering at his approach. But let's be like those who say, Hosanna, save me, save me. See, look, we're always in need of a road test. We like the people at the top of the road with Jesus who are sold out for him, who are rejoicing with him, who know that wherever he is, there is assurance and there's comfort? Or are we like those sometimes down at the other end of the road that are resistant to Jesus, still resisting him? Are we like those who are rejoicing about Jesus, or are we like those down at the bottom of the road who would rather see him die than see him change them, who would rather have killed him than answer his call to the new covenant, to love one another as he's loved us? Let's be honest, it's that kind of love that's sometimes the hardest to give up. That's the love that King Jesus wants most to free up in us. It's hard sometimes to have that kind of hope that Jesus wants us to be lit up with. But listen, that is the hope that King Jesus most wants to ignite in us. It's hard sometimes to really embrace his life in us. But that is the life that he wants most, this King Jesus wants most for us to have, that promise of life eternal with him. And then to spread out to others, no matter in every way, whatever we say, whatever we do, however we live, to be sending that message of love and hope and new life. That's what Jesus wants for us. this King Jesus. We need to say, right in, right in, right in. See, I think that God is sending us a big message. He's shouting to us. And what I think he's shouting is, see, your King is coming. Your King is coming. He's coming with assurance. He's coming with comfort. But listen up. He's also coming, ready and willing to conquer those places of resistance in our hearts. Maybe our response should be, Hosanna, save me, Son of David. Hosanna, Jesus, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save me, you King of humility. You King of my heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just praise you today and thank you that the story, that the recollection, that the witness of those who were there to see these great things, that your word makes them available to us. We praise you that your Holy Spirit continues after all these millennia to make them alive for us and relevant to our lives. And we praise you, O God, that by that same Holy Spirit, you can and you will and you are willing to lead us every step of the way in our lives, that we may be true disciples and that indeed we may see a change in this world and in this nation, and in our hearts. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.